You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Keely Boltina. Coming up on the show, we'll get the latest on the presidential race, what states' counts are still outstanding, and what the path to victory looks like for each candidate.
Now we turn our attention to Wisconsin and the election results we've seen statewide. The Associated Press is projecting the state for Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden.
A Trump campaign spokesperson says they'll ask for a recount, but there were several other races in Wisconsin as well, from Congress to the state legislature, that will shape our politics for the next few years.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts, reactions, and questions about the elections here in the state? What do you think about the current call for Biden? According to the unofficial tally here in Wisconsin, are you hopeful with divided government in the state that a Democratic governor and a Republican-led legislature can get stuff done together? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org.
Laurel White is helping us break it all down. She's WPR State Capitol reporter and has been following the results all day, technically all night. Laurel, thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Keely. Thanks for having me.
Quick overview. What have we heard from the Wisconsin Elections Commission about the count so far?
So we've obviously been keeping a close eye on everything released from the Wisconsin Elections Commission today. They have said, as of the latest information that I received, that there were just about 300 votes in Wisconsin still outstanding from a small community in the state called Willow. They haven't been able to track down the local municipal clerk there, actually. She went home sick yesterday from the polls, and folks have had a hard time getting in touch with her today to get those last 300 votes in Wisconsin. So that's kind of the latest update we've gotten from the Statewide Elections Commission about counting and where votes stand in Wisconsin.
I think that's pretty impressive considering we had so much talk about not being able to count mail-in ballots, the absentee ballots, until Election Day began yesterday and knowing that there was a big influx there. So we've gotten through those. So we've gotten through the absentee ballots and the in-person ballots.
We have, yes. So really, it was unusual this year, right? This was a process that looked different than what we've seen in previous presidential elections because of the large number of absentee ballots. But it really played out the way that election officials told us it would in the weeks leading up to yesterday, which was these absentee ballots take a little bit longer to count. There's kind of more to the process. You've got to check the envelopes for different requirements. You've got to open them, flatten out the ballot, feed it into the machine. We can't do that in Wisconsin under state law until 7 a.m. on election day when polls open. So election officials had been very clear for quite a while just to kind of set that expectation of, hey, it's going to take a little bit to get these absentees counted in the state. Milwaukee told us it was going to be probably between 3 and 6 a.m. this morning before we got that total number of absentee ballots that they release all at once. That's how the process works. And that's pretty much how it played out. So we got those absentee numbers in the wee hours of this morning from Milwaukee, from Green Bay, from Kenosha. Those were kind of the stragglers, I guess you could call them, in terms of, you know, getting those late counts done. And that's all wrapped up now.
And yet it was this afternoon when the Associated Press made the call that Wisconsin is likely for Biden. Lifting back the curtain a bit, WPR and NPR defer to the AP for this result. Why is that?
So the AP has been doing this for decades. They use a very clear and, detailed process that they've developed over time. They're very, thoughtful about how they do this. And so they look at the results that are being reported from county election officials all across the state. They take those in, they see what's still outstanding, and they don't make a call until it's abundantly clear what the unofficial results are telling us in a statewide race or in state assembly or Senate races as well. So we respect the Associated Press. We think that they do really their due diligence in this. And so we rely on them to make that call for us, that projection.
The Trump campaign is already calling for a recount here in Wisconsin. It's not a surprise. And I understand it's also not a perfectly legal process.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we're a sort of a veteran of recounts here in Wisconsin now, I guess you could say. We had a presidential recount in 2016, so we've been through the process. We know exactly what it looks like. Our election officials are familiar with it. 2016, the recount was spurred by the Green Party candidate, Jill Stein. She requested and paid for it. And the way it played out was just, you know, it took about 10 days. It's led on the county level in Wisconsin. So the 72 county clerks get together and oversee the recounting of ballots and report that information. In 2016, we saw about 1,500 votes change out of the roughly 3 million that were cast. So obviously not a big number there. But I think what's even more remarkable than just the small 1,500 number is that President Donald Trump's margin actually only changed by about 130 votes. Hmm. So we saw both of the candidates, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, get similar boosts from the recount. And it was just, in most cases, just human error in reading those ballots and processing them. So again, this is something that Wisconsin is very familiar with. And, you know, we're seasoned. We're ready to do this if it does move forward.
All right. Laurel White is the state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. And we are talking about the results as Wisconsin's votes have been counted. You're listening to the Ideas Network, and there's a line for you if you'd like to join this conversation. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. What do you think about the current call? What are you seeing in your part of Wisconsin? Share that with us at 800-642-1234. Laurel, we're talking a lot about the presidential race that still is not decided, and so we're watching that, and certainly that's getting a lot of attention. But Wisconsin had congressional seats up, and one of them was the 5th congressional district that was interesting because it was a campaign to replace longtime Republican Representative Jim Sensenbrenner. What happened there?
So this was a really interesting seat, Keeley, because when we found out that Jim Sensenbrenner, who'd been serving in Congress, representing Wisconsin for decades, was going to retire, this is a very safe Republican district, considered to be, you know, kind of a Republican stronghold for the state over in the southeastern part of the state. And so people were watching really closely to sort of see a flood of potential Republican candidates go and make a bid for this congressional seat. And that's not really what happened. It ended up being a pretty cut and dry primary for our state Senate Majority Leader, Scott Fitzgerald. He's the Republican nominee in that district. And he ended up receiving 60% of the vote last night, according to unofficial totals. So Scott Fitzgerald is going to be moving from the state Senate and his leadership capacity there to Congress.
And we'll talk more in depth about campaigns for state seats. But how does that move by Fitzgerald to the U.S. House of Representatives affect our state legislature?
So we're going to be watching this really closely. I think as state capitol reporter, I'm very biased and particularly interested in this, you know, the power dynamics and folks in charge at the state capitol. Those leaders are people I talk with a lot. So there's going to be an election for the new leader of the Republican-controlled state Senate. Republicans held on to their majority in the state Senate last night. So their majority leader will be an important person as we move through, for example, the next state budget writing process. As, you know, the legislative maps are drawn after the census wraps up and that kind of process begins. So we're just going to have to kind of see how that plays out in terms of which Republican state senator is tapped to step into the shoes of Senator Fitzgerald.
In congressional races where there was an incumbent in Wisconsin, that incumbent won. The one we were really watching, though, was the 3rd congressional district, extremely close. The district includes La Crosse, Eau Claire, Stevens Point. That's the seat that's been held by Democratic Representative Ron Kind since the late 90s. What's happening here?
So you're right. This was the close race that we were watching last night. The rest of our congressional races in Wisconsin were pretty cut and dry, more expected. The Associated Press actually didn't call this 3rd district race for Ron Kind until about 11 o'clock this morning, with 99% of precincts reporting. The Associated Press results showed that Kind had 51.4% of the vote to his Republican challenger's 48.5%. So close race there, certainly. But Kind was able to earn his 13th term in Congress in this district, which was very closely watched because it's a part of the state that President Trump won in 2016. So Republicans thought that they might be able to flip this district from Democratic control, and they came close, but didn't get it accomplished this time.
Any chance of a recount there? You said Wisconsin's good at recounts.
Right. Well, the way that state law works is that it has to be in 1%. The margin has to be within 1% for a recount to move forward. And we're not seeing that right now. So it's not looking like that's going to be possible for the third congressional district.
We are talking to Laurel White, state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, talking about what we know and still don't know about Wisconsin's election results.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about last night's results or the counting process? What do you want to see happen in state government? Do you want to see the Democratic governor and still Republican-led legislature work together on issues? What do you want to see them tackle when it comes to the state budget, drawing new district lines in the state, a gerrymandering, or how about a pandemic response? Call in at 800-642-1234. Also, if you want to share your story about how voting went for you, however you did it, let us know. 800-642-1234 is the number, or tweet us at Central Time WPR.
We continue the conversation coming up on Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Keely Boltina. Right now, we're talking about the results in races across Wisconsin. Our guest is Laurel White, state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about the election? Were you a poll worker? How did things go from where you were sitting or standing? What do you want to see next for the governor and the new look in the state legislature, still led by Republicans? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
And we have Frank from Egg Harbor ready to join the conversation. Hey, Frank.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to ask Laurel, what is her understanding of what the legislature has done so far in response to COVID? I have not seen much, if anything. And every time that there is an action by the governor, it seems to be overturned. I'm trying to keep people alive in Northern Door County. So I'd like to know what you've seen as a reporter. And that's my number one concern, because without dealing with a pandemic, we cannot deal with schools, we cannot deal with unemployment, we cannot deal with people in the workplace. So, and every, as I said, it's just been adiaphora to our legislature.
Frank, thanks for that question. Thanks for your thoughts there. And the legislature right now, Laurel, is run by Republicans, and it stays that way after this election. Do you know any more about what's happening with their response to COVID?
So here's what's going on there. The legislature met in mid-April to take up a bill and pass a bill that was kind of the state's response to COVID-19. So what that bill did was it allowed Wisconsin to receive that CARES Act funding from the federal government that was approved by Congress. And it also made some changes to state laws related to insurance, barred companies from discriminating against people who'd been diagnosed with COVID. It lifted a 1 week waiting period for unemployment benefits in Wisconsin, and made some other kind of technical changes. There were some other insurance related changes in there. At the time, Republican leaders said that they would consider coming back to pass another COVID-19 related bill in the state legislature if it became clear that that was necessary. We haven't seen that since then. The governor has called on them to come up with a plan for a state response. The governor and leaders have kind of gone back and forth about meeting to talk about it. We know that there's no love lost between the Republican-controlled legislature and the Democratic governor, so they haven't been able to work that out. We did get some news just recently, I think it was last week, it might have been the week before last, time's a little bit of a blur, but Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said that he is thinking now more about that second COVID bill. He says he'd like to look and see where the federal funding was spent in Wisconsin. That money has to all be spent by December 31st, kind of review that and see what else might be necessary moving forward. So that's something that certainly could be on the horizon in Wisconsin. As we wrap up this current legislative session, the new session begins in January. So it's also very possible that it won't happen, any COVID-related legislation, until the new legislature is sworn in January.
Frank, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. As we talk with State Capitol reporter Laurel White here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And Laurel, what you mentioned and also what Frank brought up was this acknowledgement of conflict between the Democratic governor and the Republican-controlled legislature. The Republicans on Election Day wanted to establish a veto-proof majority. Did we see that?
We did not see that. So they were not successful in achieving that. To get the veto-proof majority, which is a two-thirds majority in both chambers of the state legislature, that essentially allows them to override any veto that the governor issues of a bill, or most notably, I think folks were talking about a gubernatorial override of those legislative maps that are going to exist for the next 10 years in Wisconsin after they're drawn. So that was kind of what Republicans had their eye on, was being able to override the governor's veto of that. What they needed to do to achieve that supermajority was pick up 3 seats in the state Senate and 3 seats in the state legislature. Or in the state assembly, rather. So what they were able to accomplish was 2 seats in the Senate. They picked 2 up there, but they didn't pick up any in the state assembly. So they fell short of that supermajority.
And there's a specific race we should talk about, the state's 23rd assembly district. That's considered an upset for Republicans with incumbent Jim Ott, who was unseated by a Democratic candidate. Can you tell us more about that?
That's right. So this is an interesting district. This is something that Democrats thought that they might be able to do. We focused a lot about that Republican effort to try to flip some Democratic seats to pick up more and get the supermajority. There was also a Democratic effort to target some districts in Wisconsin that they thought were vulnerable for Republicans. This is one of them. It's a suburban district north of Milwaukee. It has the towns of Cedarburg, Grafton, Mequon. The representative there has been Jim Ott, a Republican. The Democrat was able to unseat Ott last night, a pretty close race, 52% to 48%. We actually saw another similar flip for Democrats, another suburban Milwaukee district. Republican Representative Rob Hutton, the incumbent, was unseated by Democrat Sarah Rodriguez. By 51% to 49%. So Democrats were successful in targeting some of these suburban Milwaukee districts that they've argued just, aren't as Republican as they used to be.
And let's go ahead and take a call now from Jen in Rubicon. Hi, Jen.
Hi. I just wanted to share my voting experience because, unfortunately, it was extremely disheartening yesterday morning. I am a clinical nurse specialist in a Milwaukee area hospital, but I do live in rural Wisconsin, and I'm very proud of my community in general. But yesterday morning when I was voting, unfortunately, there was no masking was enforced. Social distancing was not enforced. Essentially 95% of the people that I was in line with, and some of it was inside, certainly for greater than 15 minutes, I just was scared for my fellow community members. I think the subject was made so political that the right thing just wasn't even done in the setting of voting. And it was just, like I said, very disheartening and just disappointing and scary from the standpoint that I know where we're at with surging and overcapacity in our local hospitals. And I see it every day, what this can do to folks. It was heartbreaking.
Jen, thank you for sharing your experience. being an American, going to the polls and voting and being so discouraged there. Laurel, one of the questions in the lead up to this election, especially after we saw the April one, was how hard is this going to be for people? And also this question of, can poll workers require people voting to wear masks? And the Elections Commission said no. What else do you want us to know about holding this general election in this pandemic?
Well, I think it's a really important point that you mentioned, Keely, which is that election officials were clear from day one that they couldn't require voters to wear masks to come in and cast their ballots, because that constitutes an additional requirement for voting. And so the state legislature is actually the only body in Wisconsin that can institute any requirements for voting, things like, you know, a felony voting history or your residency, how long you've lived somewhere, et cetera. So we knew that that mask requirement couldn't be enforced for voting. But, you know, certainly there's been that public health guidance encouraging people to wear masks. So there was just that disconnect there. And obviously it didn't happen in all locations in Wisconsin.
Hey, this is a big question for a really short amount of time, Laurel. But as someone who covers the state legislature closely, how do you see the next session playing out?
Well, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the new leadership looks like in the Senate. I think it's very, very important to note that because Republicans didn't get that supermajority that they were after, the power dynamics are pretty similar in the state capitol to what we've seen in the last session. We've got strong majorities for Republicans. We've got a Democrat in the governor's office. So I think we're probably going to see similar dynamics to what we've seen over the last couple of years, over the next 2 years.
Similar dynamics being gridlock?
Kind of the disagreements, I think, between the governor and the legislature, and probably a little bit more cooperation between the Assembly and Senate, because they are kind of, in a way, united against the Democrats.
Yeah. Laurel, thank you so much for joining us. Laurel White is the state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, and she joined us today to talk about the latest results from the presidential level to the congressional level, all the way down to those state legislative races here in Wisconsin.